سورة الحشر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth glorifies Allah, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. He it is who drove out the disbelievers among the people of the book from their homes at the first gathering. You did not think that they would leave, and they thought that their fortresses would defend them from Allah. But Allah's torment reached them from a place whereof they expected it not, and He cast terror into their hearts, so that they destroyed their own dwellings with their own hands and the hands of the believers. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Then take admonition, O ones of perception. Who are these people that are being spoken of? We find that when the Muslims came to Medina, there were three Jewish tribes already living there. Now the Muslims tried to live with them amiably, but when the Jews kept on betraying, what happened was that the Muslims were told to take strong action. Now this refers to the Jews of Bani Nadir, because they were always spreading mischief amongst the Muslims. They would pretend to convert and then say, well, we've become Jews again. Then after Badr, we find that the Jewish leader went to Makkah, incited the Meccans against the Muslims. And then we find that after Uhud, their spirits rose and they violated the pact. The final straw came when they tried to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was sitting by the wall, and they planned that they would throw a boulder upon his head, and Allah revealed their plan to him and he escaped. So whereupon they were given the option that either you can leave yourself or you would be besieged. But the leader of the hypocrites incited them and said, no, no, I'll be with you. So they were besieged for 6 days and then they left. Allah says in this ayah, had it not been that Allah had decreed exile for them, He would certainly have punished them in this world. And in the hereafter, there shall be the torment of the fire. Why? Why, you may question, why such a harsh punishment? This is because they opposed Allah and His Messenger. And whoever opposes Allah, then indeed Allah is severe in punishment. What you cut down of the palm trees, or left them standing on their stems. Now for the siege, they had dense date gardens. So in order to make a way, they were forced to cut a few. Allah says, whatever you cut down of the palm trees or left them standing, it was by the leave of Allah. And in order that He might disgrace the disobedient to Allah. Now the key word here is al-fasiqin, not the disbelievers, those who disobey Allah. And what Allah gave is booty to His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from them. For this you made no expedition from either cavalry or camelry. In other words, it was a very easy victory for the Muslims. But Allah gives power to His messengers over whomsoever He wills. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. And Allah is able to do all things. What Allah gave as booty to His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the people of the townships, falillahi, it belongs to Allah. It belongs to this messenger, to the relatives, to the orphans, to the needy, and the traveler, in order that it may not become a fortune used by the rich among you. And here we find a brief summing up of Islamic economics, that Islam emphasizes the circulation of wealth amongst all sections of society, not the concentration of wealth in the hands of a few. And Allah concludes, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. And whatever he forbids you from, abstain from it. And here we find the answer to people who seek to negate the importance of a hadith. And we find people who say, well, we don't know which ahadith are accurate and which are not. And they've invented this ridiculous story that all the ahadith were burnt and then 200 years later people fabricated ahadith. Now some people don't negate ahadith, but what they do is they undermine the importance of sunnah. You know, some people object that the word haram hasn't been used for wine in the Quran. So you tell them, well, if you want to find the word haram, it's in the sunnah. Clearly, categorically, it's in the sunnah. And they'll say, well, it's not in the Quran, is it? When we make comments like that, that's dismissing the sunnah, then also we are negating this ayat, because we are undermining the importance of sunnah. Allah is stating quite unequivocally here, whatever the messenger gives you, whatever he tells you, take it. And whatever he forbids you from, abstain therefrom. And fear Allah, indeed Allah is severe in punishment. Who is He severe in punishment for? For people who negate sunnah, who negate the importance of sunnah. And we can think about how many of the ahadith do we know? How much do we truly know of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his commands and his life? And Allah tells us, lil fuqara al muhajirin, for the poor emigrants who were expelled from their homes and their property, seeking bounties from Allah and to please Him and helping Allah and His Messenger. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Such are the truthful ones. Now this is a beautiful verse. Allah says, for those poor muhajirs, emigrants, who left everything for Allah's sake. The Prophet ﷺ always encouraged people to sacrifice things for Allah's sake. We find the story of Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib, the Roman companion, when he was escaping from Makkah to save his deen, the pagans surrounded him and they said, we won't let you go. So he said, look, I'm a very skillful archer and before you manage to kill me, I'll manage to kill several of you. Or else I can do this, that I can tell you where I've hidden my wealth and you can take my wealth and in exchange let me go. Now that literally meant that he was giving up everything he possessed. And so they agreed and he told them where he'd hidden his wealth and they left him go to Medina. And when he reached Medina, the Prophet ﷺ greeted him with the words that your transaction has been successful, O Suhaib, because he had been informed by divine revelation of what he had done. See, what does Allah love about them? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. They seek bounty from Allah. Not just the bounty of the dunya, ridwana. They seek the bounty of the hereafter. And يَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. It's not just talk, oh I love Allah and Allah knows how much I love Him. They're doing something. They're doing something to help Allah's deen, to serve Him. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Such people have spoken the truth. What truth is this? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now we can think about how often we have proved the truth of our la ilaha illallah. It's just like a child who keeps on telling the mother, oh I love you and I adore you. But when it comes to obeying the mother tells him to clean the room, he doesn't clean the room. The mother tells him to change his clothes, he doesn't change his clothes. So eventually the mother will say, then why do you keep on saying that you love me? In the same way, it's not good enough if we're just reading tasbihs of la ilaha illallah every day. 300 times a day I'm reading la ilaha illallah and my life is followed according to my own whims and desires. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Such are the truthful. So truth is not just about what you're saying, it's about how you're living that truth out. And also for those who before them had homes. Allah mentions the Ansars and had adopted the faith. They love those who emigrate to them and they have no jealousy in their hearts for that which they have been given. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They give them preference over themselves even though they were in need of that. وَمَنْ يُقَشُّحَ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever is saved from the stinginess of his own soul, such are the winners. Now we find a beautiful story behind this ayat. Hazrat Abu Huraira narrates that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ for food or for help and the Prophet ﷺ asked his wives to send whatever was cooked. All of them told him that they had nothing with them except water. So the Prophet ﷺ turned to the Ansar and said, who is going to feed this man? One of the Ansari said, yes, I will. And he took him to his house and told his wife, entertain the guest of the Prophet ﷺ. The wife said, I have nothing to offer except what is prepared for the children. He said, prepare the meal, get ready the lamp and put the children to bed. His wife did so. Then she stood up and pretending as if she was fixing the lamp, she extinguished it. And this way, sitting with the guests, they made him think as if they were also eating with him. Now look at their sensitivity, that they didn't make it obvious that, well, all we have we're giving to you. No, that would have made him feel uncomfortable. So they pretended as if they were also eating. In this way, they fed the guests and they passed the night themselves without food. And one of the most beautiful aspects of the story is that they sacrificed their children's food as well. Because sometimes we're prepared to sacrifice our own desires, but when it comes to our children's wants, that, oh, my child wants this pair of shoes, then I don't have money for the sabqa because my child's wishes come first. In the morning when they went to the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, whatever you both did with your guest last night, Allah was much pleased with it. And this verse was revealed. مَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever is saved from his own selfishness, such are the winners. Now look at ourselves. Let's look at our own actions. We speak glibly of human rights, but how many of us would give up anything for the Muslim refugees? Whether for the Kashmiri refugees or any other of the refugees, the Bosnian refugees. We talk glibly of human rights and the massacre that's taking place, but it's just talk. Allah says, whoever is saved from his own selfishness, such are the winners. And those who came after them. Look at Allah says, there's a broad spectrum that you can choose from. Which category do we belong to, if any of these? Do we belong to those who have given up anything for Allah? Do we belong to those who take care of those who have sacrificed for Allah? Or do we come in this category? Those who say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, O our Lord, forgive us, and our brothers who have preceded us in faith. See, in these three verses we find Allah teaching us the importance of brotherhood in Islam. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. So whether you're helping your Muslim brother physically, or helping them by encouraging them, or giving them something, or you're helping them by praying for them. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. The believers are brothers. O our Lord, forgive us, and our brothers who have preceded us in faith. Not that we just selfishly pray for ourselves, but we pray for the Muslims who have passed before us. And put not in our hearts any hatred against those who have believed. O our Lord, you are indeed full of kindness, Rahim, most merciful. And Allah tells us of the hypocrites, because the hypocrite is the exact opposite. The only love the hypocrite has in his heart is for himself, for his children, and for his wealth. Have you not observed the hypocrites who say to their friends among the people of the book who disbelieve, by Allah, if you are expelled, we will go out with you, and we shall never obey anyone against you, and if you are attacked, we shall indeed help you. But Allah is witness that they indeed are liars. See, with the hypocrite, it's just talk. So he encourages the enemies of Islam that we'll help you against the Muslims. Allah says, surely if the Jews are expelled, never will the hypocrites go out with them. And if they are attacked, they will never help them. And even if they do help them, the hypocrites will turn their backs and they will not be victorious. Indeed, you believers are more fearful in their breast than Allah. This is the core of the hypocrite's personality. Because he's trying to present this external beauty before people. Why? Because he fears people more than he fears Allah. So he doesn't care what Allah thinks of him, but he certainly cares what people think of him. And Allah dismisses them. This is because they are a people who do not understand. They don't understand that it's Allah we have to please, not people. They fight not against you even together, except in fortified townships or from behind walls. Their enmity amongst themselves is very great. See, Allah is giving us these helpful tips. So don't be intimidated by the hypocrites. Their psyche is such that they distrust everyone, because they judge every person by their own level. Their own level of hostility and rancor that the hypocrite contains within himself. So he distrusts everyone. You would think they are united. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَطَّى. But their hearts are divided. And if we look at the state of the Muslim Ummah today, we find exactly this. You can't even think they're united, because this division, this hostility is apparent. Their hearts are divided. So what does that make us? Mu'mineen or hypocrites? And this is because they are people, لا يعقلون, who are not using their brains. That's why Allah emphasizes, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. If you wish to succeed, you must unite. Otherwise, nothing but failure awaits you. They are like their immediate predecessors, the Jews of Banu Qaynuqa. They tasted the evil result of their conduct, and there is for them a painful torment. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Like Shaitan, when he says to man, disbelieve in Allah. But when man disbelieves in Allah, Shaitan says, I am free of you. I fear Allah, the Lord of the world. Now imagine a situation where a friend is advising us, do this and I'll support you. When we do it and that friend suddenly lets us down and says, well, don't count on me for help. How do we feel? Betrayed. And above all, you feel regret that you were such a fool as to listen to that person. Allah warns us that don't let Shaitan delude you into disobeying Allah. He's not going to support you. So the end of both man and Shaitan will be that they will be in the fire, living therein forever. Such is the recompense of the Zalimeen. Why? Why Zalimeen? Why not Kafirin or Munafiqin here? Allah is reminding us that one who accords to Shaitan the importance he should have accorded to Allah is a Zalim. And the greatest injustice he has done is upon himself. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have Iman, O you who claim to be Muslims, who claim to be believers, ittaqullah, be conscious of Allah, remember Allah, don't ever forget Allah. وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسٌ, and let every person, male, female, rich, poor, old, young, black, white, let every soul think, مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, what has it sent ahead for tomorrow? Like if you know you're going to move abroad. Now the efficient person who knows he has to shift makes a checklist. He makes sure his preparations are well in advance of the day that he has to travel. He keeps on checking the list. Has he got everything? Has he got the currency he'll need there? If it's winter there, does he have enough warm clothing? Allah is asking us, think about it, people. Wake up. The journey is being made. Every second of the day is bringing us closer to Allah, closer to our death. What have we sent ahead for the morrow? مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And do it for Allah. The sadqas that you give, the prayers that you read, the Quran that you recite, do it for Allah and that's the only way that it will help you tomorrow. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah is all aware of what you do. We can never forget that hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, when man dies and people say, مَا خَلَّفَ What has he left behind? How many homes? How many children? How many bank accounts? How many cars? And the angels ask, مَا قَدَّمَ What has he sent ahead? How many prayers? How many fasts? How many sadaqat? How many zakat payments? How many umrahs? How many hajjs? مَا قَدَّمَ What has this man sent ahead? So the time to start preparing is now. The Prophet ﷺ told us, die before you die. In other words, be prepared for death before it actually comes. حَاسِبُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا Do your hisab before your hisab is taken. وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ Don't be like those who forgot Allah. How do we forget Allah? We all remember Allah. Someone once said that Muslims think that a good Muslim is one who has a long beard and who keeps on saying Alhamdulillah and MashaAllah and Jazakillah. That's not remembering Allah. True remembrance of Allah is manifested in our deeds. What am I actually doing? Not what I'm saying. Talk is cheap. Besides, inshallah and mashallah are so part of our vocabulary that we say it without even knowing what we're saying. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهُ Who forgot Allah. When they sinned, they forgot that Allah was watching them. When they cheated, when they lied, when they did gossip, they forgot Allah. So what happened? فَانْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ So Allah made them forget themselves. Because Allah doesn't need us. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ You're all the beggars before Allah. And if we forget Him, then Allah will make us forget our hereafter. Who are these people? Are they the disbelievers? Are they the Jews, the Christians? Allah says, such are the disobedient ones. Now this is very frightening. We all disobey Allah. And every time we disobey Allah, in effect, we're forgetting Allah. And the more we disobey Allah, the more we forget Allah. And the more we forget Allah, the more we sink in that quicksand of deception that Shaitan has prepared for us. And so we end up forgetting ourselves. We serve a multiplicity of gods. My nafs, my desire, my sleep, my food, my friend, my child, my spouse, and we forget Allah. لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ Why do we do this? Oh, I'll get away with it. Oh, the Prophet will intercede for me. Allah loves me. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah says, in what delusions are you? What delusions are you harboring? The Prophet ﷺ told us, the gist of which was that the intelligent is one who does hisab of his nafs before he dies. And the fool is one who follows his desires and trusts in vain hope that Allah will forgive him. Now which category do we come under? Do we trivialize our sins? Remember the saying of the companion, the believer sees his sins like a mountain which he is afraid may fall upon him. And the sinner sees his sins like flies which he drives away from his nose. لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ If our deeds are the people of Jannah, then that's what we'll make it, inshallah. But if our deeds are the deeds of the people of hell, and our statement is the statement of people who hope to make it to paradise, that's not going to work. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى Man will only have that which he strived for, not the eloquent words which he spoke. Not equal are the people of hell and the people of Jannah. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون The people of Jannah, they are the winners. They are the ones who made it. The successful ones. How do we become the people of Jannah? Allah tells us by having awe of Allah. By having khashya of Allah. It says that true ilm is not the number of a hadith, you know. True ilm is the reverence of Allah that your heart contains. Khashya, reverence, awe. Before sinning, I think, how can I sin when Al-Malik is watching me? When I read a prayer, I think to myself, was this worthy of Allah's acceptance? That is khashya. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلْ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ Had we revealed this Qur'an upon a mountain, you would have seen it humbled, rent asunder by the fear of Allah. How many times have we read the Qur'an? How many times have we been through the Qur'an? We read the Qur'an daily. What effect does it have upon us? Do our skins tremble? Do our eyes weep? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to pray that I seek refuge in Allah from an eye which does not weep. Someone insults us, oh yes, we shed tears readily enough. I'm so sensitive. Do we weep when we read the Quran? We are told that weep when you read the Quran, and if you cannot weep, force yourself to weep. Had we sent down this Quran on a mountain, you would have seen it humbling itself, rent asunder. Why are mountains mentioned? A mountain that we take to be the epitome of firmness and strength. Nothing can move it, as immovable as a mountain, an irresistible force, solid as a mountain, firm as a rock. Allah says this mountain would have crumbled from the fear of Allah. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالِ. Such are the examples which we put forward before mankind. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. In order that they may reflect. What is our level of khashya, if any khashya at all? How do we feel when we read the Quran? Does our heart start trembling? And Allah tells us of His glory. Allah gives us this bouquet of verses in which Allah tells us about aspects of His personality, of His being. What is it about Allah that if this Quran were revealed upon a mountain, the mountain would humble itself? Because this Quran is from Allah. Who is Allah? هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. He is Allah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's own original name, in the sense that it's Ism Zat, Allah's true name. And if you look at the calligraphy of Allah, we find every letter rising upwards, signifying Allah's loftiness. Allah comes from إِلَهٌ, أَلِهَا. أَلِهَا means to astonish. And Allah is the most astonishing being, whose feats, whose deeds, whose creation is unparalleled, incredible. When you minutely analyze anything that Allah has made, we're astounded, we're amazed. La ilaha illahu, none has the right to be worshipped but He. As we read yesterday, lahul khalqu wa lahul amr. Because He created everything, He has the right to command everything. And we do not have the right to set anyone up against Allah, be it our own nafs, or our friends, or our society, or our parents, or our spouses. La ilaha illahu. Allah will not brook any shirk. There is no God but He. None has the right to be obeyed but He. Alimul ghaybi wa shahada. The all-knower of the unseen and the seen. If we sin against Allah, if we disobey Allah, where can we hide? Where can we flee? The all-knower of the unseen and the seen. In other words, Allah's knowledge encompasses the innermost depths of our heart. That venom which we hid in our heart, which we thought no one knows of, Allah knows it. As Allah tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, هُوَ الزَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. He is the obvious and the hidden. The externals, the internals, the true reality, all comes within His vision. And withal, هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Subhanallah. What Allah knows about us, He could destroy us in one instant for all those moments of disobedience, for all those moments of sins. Despite knowing everything, He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. What does Allah tell us in the Hadith Qudsi? Ya ibadi, innakum tukhti'una bil-layli wal-nahar. O my slaves, you sin day and night. Not just in the daytime, you sin day and night. Every second of the day. Wa ana aghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'a. But I forgive all sins. Who are Rahman? What is Ar-Rahman? The highest superlative there is, intensely merciful. There is no mercy beyond Allah's mercy. Therefore, this word can only be used for Allah. If you wish to name someone Rahman, it must be Abdul Rahman, slave of Ar-Rahman. How can we understand Allah's intense love for us? What's the supreme example of love we find in this world, in human relationships? The mother. The mother is the one who gives the most, without wanting anything in return. The mother is the one who sacrifices the most, who loves her child with his flaws, with his foibles, with his disobedience. She still loves him. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us of Allah's love for us? Allah loves more than 70 mothers. How does a person feel when their mother dies? Deprived. Even if the mother is old, even if she can't do anything for the child still feels as if this shade of love and protection has been removed. Imagine if someone had 70 mothers, 70 people loving you the way a mother loves, selflessly, generously, forgivingly. What an honor. And Allah says, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the repeatedly merciful. Ar-Rahman is like an ecstasy of love. And Ar-Rahim is like tenderness, gentleness, And think of all the times when Allah helps you in a moment. When we've sinned, we think there's no hope, and then Allah lifts us up again. We stumble and fall, and Allah picks us up yet again. As we read in that story of footprints in the sand, that the man who's walking through the sand and he sees two pairs of footprints, and in the times that he's been most troubled, there's only one pair. And he says, Allah, why is this? That in the times that I needed you most, there's only one pair of footprints. And Allah says, my child, when you were lowest, when you were suffering, it was then that I carried you. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, Allah rendered mercy into 100 paths, keeping 99 and sending one down to earth. By virtue of that one path, creatures are merciful to one another, such that even the mare lifts her hooves away from her foal, fearing she may step on it. Subhanallah. Our mother loves us, that's Allah's rahmah. Allah put that love for us in her heart. Someone helps us out, it was Allah who gave them that tenderness. Now what should our reciprocal attitude be? We should strive to emulate that mercy. We should try and forgive people, because if we forgive people and if we are generous towards them, if we cover their faults, Allah will do the same for us, inshallah. Now Allah reveals another aspect of His being. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. He is Allah besides whom there is no God. Don't ever forget that. Al-Malik, the King. Al-Quddus, the Holy. As-Salam, the Perfect. Al-Mu'min, the Giver of Peace. Al-Muhaymin, the Watcher over His creatures. Al-Aziz, the Almighty. Al-Jabbar, the Compeller. Al-Mutakabbir, the Supreme. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Most exalted is Allah above all that they associate as partners with Him. Look at the words with which Allah describes Himself. See, Allah is telling us about Himself. Allah is introducing Himself to us. That these are all facets of His being. He, about whom it is said, Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is none like Him. The King, the ultimate King. Now, in this country, we don't have kings, but we have important personages, people who are influential. And if someone is under the protection or under the patronage of an important person, he feels protected, he feels confident. Well, I can do what I like and I can get away with it because this friend of mine, this influential person that I know, he'll save me, he'll bail me out. Imagine if we had Allah's protection, if we had Allah's authority, if we had Allah's help shading us, protecting us. See how Allah liberates us from worldly chains. From worldly chains of needing people and sucking up to them and flattering them. Allah frees us from all of this. Al-Malik. When we make Allah our King, our ultimate sovereign, then we are truly liberated. Then we acquire true honor. Because we don't need to suck up to anyone. We don't need anyone's help. We have Allah. Al-Malik. Al-Quddus. The Holy. The Pure. You think of worldly leaders, of worldly kings, and we have numerous scandals and numerous stories of corruption and abuses of power and stories of cruelties. So much so that everyone has a disillusioning story about them. And you think, well, there's no one I can look up to anymore. What was it that the saying goes? An absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we've become so cynical that we think that, yes, if someone is a king, someone is power, they're going to end up corrupting themselves. Allah Al-Quddus, the Holy, the Pure, He is not one that can be corrupted or that would ever abuse His power. Al-Quddus, free from all faults. And so it follows that if we wish to be friends of Al-Quddus, we need to purify ourselves. It's not good enough that I say, well, I love Allah. No, I need to purify myself. My speech, my heart, my actions, my thoughts, my very words need to be purified. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبُلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is pure, He only accepts that which is pure. As-Salam, the perfect being, the one who grants peace. If you look at the way Allah saves us, we find that there are 7 angels just for the protection of one eye. If you look at our physical situation, if you look at the way Allah has created this earth, that were it closer to the sun, we could not have lived on it. Were it further away from the sun, we could not have lived on it. Who granted us this peace and safety? As-Salam. So we too should become Muslims. As the Prophet ﷺ defined, one from whose tongue and whose hands the Muslims are safe. In other words, they don't feel threatened. The Muslim is one who spreads peace wherever he is. Al-Mu'min, the one who grants Iman. Allah has granted us this precious gift of Iman. What do we need to do with it? We need to value it. We need to polish it. We need to nurture our Iman and we need to convey it as well. Al-Muhaymin, the protector. He protects us from shaitan when we seek his protection. He protects us from grief, from fears, from anxiety. Whatever you ask his protection for, he will grant it. Do we then protect his laws? Do we then protect his book and his deen? Al-Aziz. Lest we think Allah needs us or our efforts? No, he is the Almighty, the Tremendous, the Awesome. How then should we be before him? Humble, fearful, conscious of his tremendous power. Al-Jabbar, the Compeller. See, some people just like to think of Allah as Rahman, or love. Oh, God is love and he will never punish. And he will never throw anyone into hell. No, the balanced perspective of Islam is that although Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, he is also Al-Jabbar. Lest we become deluded by Allah's mercy into recklessly sinning. Al-Mutakabbir, the Supreme, the only being who has a right to arrogance. Allah says in a magnificent hadith Qudsi, Ar-Takabburu Ridai, arrogance is my cloak. And the gist of the hadith is, that whoever tries to snatch it from me or seize it from me, I will cast him into hell. Why? Because only Allah, who is Nurus Samawati Walad, the one that there is none other like him, only he has the right to be arrogant. Only he has the right to be praised. Alhamdulillah. Why? Rabbil Alameen. Because he is the Rabb of the universe. And if any human being is arrogant on the basis of knowledge or intelligence or wealth, he needs to remember he is a pitiful, deluded creature. Who gave him that wealth? Who gave him that knowledge? Who gave him that beauty? Will it last with him forever? Or will he take that beauty with him to the grave? His bones will decay. His face will rot. And Allah goes on to say, Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Allah is exalted above all that they associate as partners with him. He is far above their shirk. When people say, oh, I'm angry with Allah. When people equate human beings or angels with Allah the glorious, with Allah the incomparable. See, Allah says, Allah is far above all that they associate as partners with him. Hu Allahu. Now Allah gives us yet another facet of his being. He is Allah. Al-Khaliqu, the creator. He created us. Al-Bari'u, the inventor of all things. The source of life itself. Why are some people able to bear children and others not? And the doctor says, well, there's no reason why you can't have a child. But they don't have a child. Why? Al-Bari'u. Because life comes from Allah and Allah alone. Al-Musawwir. The designer. The fashioner. Subhanallah. We look at a beautiful painting, people still remember the names of artists. Of Michelangelo. Of Leonardo da Vinci. Why? Oh, they created incomparable works of art. What of Allah, the artist who is like none other, who has created so many things, things in the depth of the ocean, things in deserts, mountains, the beauty of this vast universe. He is the supreme artist, Al-Musawwir. Lahul Asma'ul Husna. We can never comprehend Allah's glory. We can never hope to confine Allah or encompass Allah within our knowledge. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, your ignorance of Allah is your knowledge of Allah. So Allah says, don't just think that these names, these attributes, you understood them, you understood Allah. No. Lahul Asma'ul Husna. So many other attributes. So many other aspects. So many other facets. Allah tells us in the Quran that if all the trees were pens, and if all the water in the world was ink with which to write, still the words of Allah could not be completed. Yusabbihu lahu ma fis samawati wal ard. All that is in the heavens and the earth glorify him. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزِ. He is the Almighty. He can punish us. He could take us away right now. Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. He has the perfect knowledge of when and how many chances to give man.